Welcome to Missing Person. This is a work of fiction. I'm the author, R.A. Conti. The story begins in 1965 in a small Pennsylvania town. The missing person of the title is a middle-aged homemaker named Betty Suggs. Shocked by her cancer diagnosis, Betty abandons her home, husband, and teenage children. With $200 and no idea why she's running away, she takes a bus to Philadelphia. What happens to her there transforms her life. The story is read by Janice Tapp.
Missing Person. Chapter 1, Last Day. Betty's difficult argument with her husband last night had worn her out. She felt too tired to make anything more than a quick breakfast for Jerry and the kids. No eggs, bacon, or pancakes. Coffee, cereal, milk, and bananas would have to do. The family didn't display any disappointment. It was merely another breakfast on another ordinary morning. However, for Betty, this day would be anything but ordinary. As they ate in silence, she recalled the bedtime clash with Jerry. "Betty, I just don't understand you," he said angrily. "What the hell do you think you're doing?" "I'm looking out for myself, Jerry."
"But what about the kids? What about me?"
"This isn't about Doris, Johnny, or you. It's about me."
"You're so damn selfish," Jerry exclaimed.
He immediately regretted his accusation. Betty glared at him. "Selfish? I suppose you think I wanted to get cancer?" Jerry's face fell.
"No, I didn't mean that."
"Then what did you mean, Jerry?"
"Why won't you do what the doctors tell you?" he pleaded. "What's wrong with that?"
"I don't want to get those treatments. They're worse than the cancer."
Jerry felt exasperated. "But you could beat it."
"And I might not. I could just be wasting my time and ruining the rest of my life. I can't do that."
"So you want to die?" he asked.
Betty didn't reply immediately. She tried to think of a way to tell Jerry how having cancer had changed her. Lately, she had been thinking about death a lot, but she'd been thinking about life, too, and wondering if this life was the right one for her. Betty looked into his eyes. She saw his concern was genuine, but it didn't make any difference. She had already decided what she needed to do. Now that the kids were back in school after their summer break, she was going to carry out her plan. She sighed. "Everybody dies, Jerry. Even you. Someday." She knew it sounded cruel, but didn't know what else to say. And she wanted this conversation to end.
"I know, Betty, but this isn't about me. It's about you."
Betty nodded. "That's right, and it's my decision, not anyone else's."
"Not even me?"
he asked meekly. Betty felt sorry for her husband. She felt sorry for Doris and Johnny, too. They didn't yet know that their mother had cancer. However, the person she felt sorriest for was herself. After Jerry fell asleep, Betty reflected on her life. For as far back as she could remember, she had given everything she had to her husband and kids. Betty never held back and never asked anything for herself. Her family had always been first. However, putting them first didn't mean she was second. There was no second. They were all, and she was nothing. Betty felt as if she had been nothing for many years. For now, in the fall of 1965, Betty realized she had been sleepwalking through her small-town life. Cancer woke her up. She discovered she didn't know who she really was and desperately wanted to find out. Betty loved Jerry and the kids. She loved being a mother and housewife. Until now, she had assumed she was happy. However, she could no longer continue living this life. Something, but she didn't know what, was missing. After they finished breakfast and left for the day, Betty planned to pack some clothes. She would grab the wad of cash the family kept in the cookie jar for emergencies and take her first step
into a different life. It might be the beginning of her final journey. In a way, she was lucky because she knew how it was going to end. Not when it would end, exactly. Most likely in a year or two, when the cancer did its damage. However, she didn't care. Betty just wanted the rest of her life to be free. She didn't know where she was going, but there was no time to waste. From now on, she would only look forward. No matter what happened, she had no plan to come back or even look back, ever. Jerry and the kids would have to get along without her. An hour later, after she dressed and packed a small overnight bag, Betty checked herself in the hall mirror. She saw a short, nondescript, middle-aged woman whose dark hair had started to go gray. Betty had a round face, brown eyes, a small mouth, and didn't look like someone who had received a death sentence. Then she realized that she didn't feel as if her cancer meant she was certain to die. In fact, Betty felt eager to live. She smiled at her reflection and then went out the front door. Betty hoped she would never see that door, her family, or Johnsonville ever again. "Betty Suggs is dead," she thought. Then she smiled as her next thought buoyed her. "Long live Betty Suggs!" As Betty walked away from the house, she hoped she wasn't making a stupid mistake and would soon come to regret what she was doing. However, desperation was stronger than apprehension. She didn't turn to go back.
Thanks for listening to Missing Person. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please move on to the next one. Thanks for listening to Missing Person. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please move on to the next one.